I'm Marty Moscowen. Welcome to Radio Times. The Mueller report concluded that Russia had interfered with the 2016 election to try to benefit Donald Trump. And while there were no conspiracy charges against the Trump campaign, there was plenty of evidence of meetings and contacts with Russians, including one at Trump Tower offering dirt on Hillary Clinton. ABC's George Stephanopoulos interviewed President Trump at the White House this week about what he would do this time if approached.
Your campaign this time around, if foreigners, if Russia, if China, if someone else offers you information on an opponent, should they accept it or should they call the FBI?
I think maybe you do both. I think you might want to listen. There's nothing wrong with listening. If somebody called from a country, Norway, we have information on your opponent. Oh. I think I'd want to hear it.
You want that kind of interference in our elections?
It's not an interference. They have information. I think I'd take it. If I thought there was something wrong, I'd go maybe to the FBI. If I thought there was something wrong.
Federal Election Commission Chairwoman Ellen Weintraub said she wanted to make something perfectly clear, quote, "It is illegal for any person to solicit, accept, or receive anything of value from a foreign national in connection with a U.S. election. This is not a novel concept." George Washington warned hundreds of years ago about the insidious wiles of foreign influence. We asked Tom Nichols to join us. He's a professor of national security affairs at the U.S. Naval War College, also an adjunct at the U.S. Air Force School of Strategic Force Studies and the Harvard Extension School, author of a book called The Death of Expertise. He does not speak for the government. Tom Nichols, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Nice to join you.
So if you were a member of the Norwegian government, what message was the president sending you?
Well, first, it's interesting how often he picks Norway, which is a strange thing in and of itself. But I think the message to a member of any government is the White House is open for business. If you have something to say, if you're a foreign intelligence service, the White House is willing to listen. And I think this is immensely destructive. I think it's an appalling thing for a president to say. And it's also, I think, important to remind people that anybody in the federal government who has a security clearance, if they're approached by a foreign government, they're required to report that contact to their security personnel. It's not optional. It's not. There's no if it's bad exception. There's no room for a judgment call. If you're approached by someone who says, "I have information that I want to give you," you don't get to make a call about whether or not to call the FBI or your security representative in your organization. I mean, this is really a bad message in so many directions, whether it's to Norway or to Russia or to anybody who is walking around with a security clearance. It's crazy.
Is it any different from what he said? Donald Trump said during the campaign, "Russia, if you're listening, to find the 30,000 missing emails of Hillary Clinton."
No, and I think it's interesting that his supporters say that he's not soliciting anything. During the campaign, when he was a private citizen, he can say whatever he wants, and really that's, just our judgment about whether that's right or wrong as a private citizen. But he's the president of the United States. And when he says, if a foreign government would like to come to me with dirt on a United States citizen who is running against me in a way that will help me personally, I think that puts it completely in a different light, because I think that is soliciting help from foreign governments. The other thing I think got lost in all of this is that foreign governments may well want to approach American campaigns, not just the president, but other campaigns, with information that's false as a way of contaminating or poisoning our political process, which is, of course, what happened in 2016. So this notion that, I'd take a look at it, and if it were bad, I'd say something. There's really an immense amount of arrogance in that, on the assumption that you would know whether something is good or bad, or whether you were being fooled or having an operation run against you. It's aside from being an appalling thing to say, it's an incredibly dangerous thing to say.
Well, and I would think that that governments operate in their own self-interest. So it's not out of a generosity of spirit that you would be helping someone running for president in the United States. You'd be doing it for your own self-interest.
Well, I think it says a lot about Donald Trump's worldview that he thinks that other governments would come to him because they think he's a swell guy. and that they would say, you know, you seem like a good president and we really want to help you out here. And we're doing this out of the goodness of our hearts because we Norwegians really care about the Republican Party. You know, this is, again, just a the president has often been described as having a narcissistic worldview. I think this is a classic example of the president not understanding that other governments might have interests besides his well-being. I think that's another thing that makes it so dangerous.
One of the other things he said by way of explanation was, you know, I talk to world leaders all the time. I have tea with the Queen of England. How does that fit? How does that sit with you?
I have often thought that the president does not, coming from the world of business, he does not understand the world of foreign affairs diplomacy, and clearly in 2 years he hasn't learned anything about it. I don't know if he really believes what he said, but just to clarify, there is an immense difference between a formal, recorded diplomatic meeting with a foreign head of state or a foreign head of government and someone from the intelligence community or from a private entity that may be associated with some pretty unsavory elements coming forward and saying, you know, we would like to inject this into the government of the United States as information. And I think that's, you know, again, it's incredibly dangerous. And the president seems to have walked it back. But I think with President Trump, you always have to start from the assumption that the first thing he says is the truth and the rest of it is damage control.
Let me try another argument on you. And this is an argument saying, well, look at the Democratic National Committee. Look at the Clinton campaign. They hired Fusion GPS, who hired former British spy Christopher Steele to come up and do opposition research. He's obviously a foreigner. Now, I should add that Christopher Steele, once he saw things that troubled him, he did go to the FBI. Maybe that is the difference. But do you see a difference there?
I see an immense difference. First of all, I think hiring opposition firms, you know, the president's right about this. People do opposition research all the time. That's different than going to agents of a foreign government or letting agents of a foreign government approach you and say, we as a government have some information that we'd like to pass to you to influence your election. This was a retired foreign spy of an allied country. And I think we also have to make some distinctions here as well, saying, look, I was hired to do some research in Europe, which is, you know, retracing this global billionaire's steps. And I found some scary things. And so I'm alerting your law enforcement people and they can do with it what they will. That's quite different than saying I'm going to go to the president of the United States as an emissary of a hostile foreign power and give you information meant to for you to use against another American citizen. I think I know the president's supporters have tried to conflate those, but I think most of them know better.
Is information the same thing as money, for instance? And there are more specific laws, I would say, about you cannot accept money from a foreign government, as Weintraub said, if you're running for election. Is information the same as money in your book?
Well, the law is very clear. It's a thing of value. It's not just money. The federal election requirements are that you cannot accept a thing of value. And that includes information. That includes anything that would be valuable to you as a campaign. If the regulations had meant just money, they would have said money. But actually, you're not allowed. There's a whole bunch of things. Mm-hmm. And again, one of the things that I find so distressing is that we're thinking about having to write this into law. You shouldn't have to write a law to tell people to be patriotic Americans. That should be something you do as a natural inclination as a citizen of the United States. You shouldn't have to do it because somebody wrote it down and told you that you shouldn't be accepting valuable information that may or may not be true from agents of a hostile foreign government.
But that's the situation we're in. I mean, doesn't that not mean that we need some kind of a law so there is no confusion going forward?
I think it says something about the Trump campaign, but I think it says something terrible about us as a people. Hmm. I think the fact that so many people are willing to defend this behavior or to wave it away or to make explanations for it because it happens to be politically convenient to them at this moment tells you something about where our political culture has fallen. And I think this is damage that it's going to take quite a long time to recover in our democracy. I think that this is not a healthy moment for us, and I don't think it's going to get better anytime soon.
Let me ask you something else, and this is, I'm going to quote from CNN here. President Donald Trump said he would not have allowed the CIA to recruit the half-brother of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, quote, under my auspice. Trump wouldn't confirm or deny reports that Kim Jong-nam had been working with the CIA prior to being killed in Malaysia in 2017, saying he didn't know anything about it. Quote, I know this, that the relationship is such that that wouldn't have happened under my auspices, and I don't know about that. Nobody knows. He's saying that as president, he would not allow the CIA to investigate or use someone as a spy on North Korea.
I am baffled as to why he felt the need to say this, other than that he still believes he has some kind of personal relationship. This goes back to our earlier discussion about how the president views the world, where he thinks other foreign leaders have great affection for him and they really have his best interests at heart because he views the world that way. Presidents in general, when it comes to these kinds of operations, are very circumspect about saying anything at all. And I don't understand, I suppose I do, but I think it's incredibly unwise to talk about what you would or wouldn't do in terms of recruiting foreign agents. I think if a highly placed member of the North Korean family came to any Western intelligence service and said, I want to cooperate with you, I want to give you information, there's a case of all the times when the president said, I'd have to take a look at it, that might be the time you should say it. But the wisest thing is not to say anything at all.
About a minute before we have to say goodbye to you, Tom. So this is the kind of a controversy or a scandal, whatever you want to call it, du jour. Are we just going to sort of move on and forget this ever happened?
I hope we don't, but unfortunately, I think the White House strategy is that they will throw a bigger grenade into the pool in a couple of days that will make us focus on that moment, and we may well just end up moving on it. I think this is really one of the most shocking things I've ever seen.
Really?
In American politics, but the president has a unique talent for overcoming his scandals by creating new ones. So it's quite possible that this will get lost in the scrum again.
Well, Tom Nichols, thanks for joining us once again on Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Professor of National Security Affairs at the U.S. Naval War College wrote a book called The Death of Expertise. And again, he does not speak for the government, speaking about what President Trump told George Stephanopoulos earlier this week. After this very short break, we're going to shift gears and talk about how to handle conflicts and arguments and how to fight fair. Stay with us. We'll be right back.